WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome one and all to WVUA 90.7, the Capstone's NBA student section. I'm your host, Zachary Elrod, and here with me today is Drew Williamson, not Trey Simpson. Trey, unfortunately, is not with us today because transportation issues.
It happens. It happens to the best of us.
It does. He's been needing a car for a while now, yeah. And the bus, it's kind of been inconsistent for him. But we understand. We're holding down the fort. Drew's back. Absolutely. From his, what, sinuses?
Sinus illness, my, you know, health, but I'm good. I'm back.
Yep. That's all that matters. Drew's back, healthy, and we got a great show for y'all today. We're going to be talking about Bronny James and declaring for the NBA draft. I don't know if y'all heard about this, but we're going to be talking about that, maybe some details you missed, expanding on some details you've heard. We're also going to be talking about Julius Randle and the Knicks, and we're going to be looking into how this injury for Julius Randle and him being out for the season is going to affect the Knicks, especially going into the playoffs. Then we're also going to be talking about the Lakers and their 8-1 game streak in the 9-game span they've had. And then we're going to be talking about how they're going to be successful and see how they can go into the playoffs. And then we're also going to be talking about the four teams that have clinched a playoff spot and the only two teams to be guaranteed a play-in spot. Nothing less, nothing more. And, yeah, it's going to be a great show for us today. And let's jump right into it. Drew, this Bronny James thing, man. I mean, before we even talk about it, what were your initial thoughts when you saw the headline?
I thought it was fake. Yeah, I thought it was just some account that just posted that, hoping to get a lot of reactions. But then I saw multiple accounts post it, like Bleacher Report and, you know, some big name places. And it just shocked me because I just, you know, I didn't think – he is not nearly ready enough to where he needs to be even
NBA caliber player.
Considering the NBA, he wouldn't be so talked about if he wasn't LeBron James's son. Because, yep, you know, this season was kind of an underwhelming one for him as far as what he did at USC. There's no doubt he has talent. But
he has potential. We've seen
absolutely
flashes.
He does.
We've seen flashes.
But the problem is, He's just not ready yet. And,
yeah,
you know, it's a weird because he's declared for the NBA draft, but then if he does not get drafted, he's staying in college and entering the transfer portal. So a lot's going on there.
There is a lot to unfold with that because, like you just mentioned, with the transfer portal, so he's got something to fall back on.
Mm-hmm.
So if any teams are interested, I guess he's not staying in USC then.
That's
because he's obviously transferring.
He obviously wants to leave, find him a place that maybe he can, you know, play better.
So even if he doesn't get drafted, everybody's still going to be, like, you know, ears up for what decision he ends up making for transferring. And also with NIL money, he gets to keep all his NIL money because we all know about that stuff and all,
oh,
you
yeah
know, the shenanigans with that because everybody wants their money nowadays.
Oh, yeah. That's
but,
how
I mean, no,
athletes
no
are
problems with that. I mean, there's definitely two ways to go about that. But, yeah, I mean, this is definitely an interesting decision, something that shocked me because – I don't know, because I thought LeBron was going to kind of be a little off with it because, like, he has been kind of hands-off with this whole decision saying,
you know,
in interviews.
I think he wants Bronny to kind of follow his own path and not, mm-hmm, you know, base it off of which LeBron didn't even go to college. But
yeah,
kind of wants him to follow his own path and journey in his basketball career. But at the same time, you know, one of the big things LeBron said he wants to do before he retires is play with his son in the NBA. So it's tough. Like, if Bronny was to magically get drafted, you know, does LeBron go to that team to team up with his son? Or, like, what happens there? It creates a weird dynamic.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I was so surprised with it, because I thought Bronny was just going to think, I mean, obviously, he didn't have the greatest season, averaged like, what, 6 a game, maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
Something like that. And I'm not ready for the NBA yet. So I'm going to have another year USC. Isaiah Collier, he's going to the draft, which is going to make Bronny's role incredibly, you know, it's going to increase his role.
Definitely.
That's why I thought I wasn't really worried about him not having the greatest season. He's a freshman, new to college. Isaiah Collier, a big-time name in the NBA draft. Obviously a big guard that everybody's looking at, very ball-dominant guard. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't really worried about, you know, him just staying another year and just seeing how sophomore season goes.
I think it would have been the smartest move for him is to stay another year. And I like I said earlier, I just don't think he's getting this type of recognition if he's not the son of
Bronny. Or LeBron not James. Bronny, but LeBron.
Yeah.
Yes, whatever their name. But like, yeah, I mean, granted, I didn't even know this was even possible. I didn't even know you could declare for the NBA draft and still stay in the transfer
portal. I was talking to my roommates about this exact same thing. I literally said I didn't think, like, he's doing, like, three things. You know, he's declaring for the NBA draft, but he's also has the eligibility to stay in college and enter the transfer portal. It's just so much going on right there.
And he gets to keep his money. It's like, yeah, he's got, like, he's got his toe in three different things.
Yeah, he does.
It's like he's not really making a decision entirely. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, but, like, he is going about the NBA draft, so I think this decision, if he was forced to go to the NBA draft, I mean, it's the smartest way to do it. I mean,
I agree.
You know, he has something to fall back on, obviously the transfer portal, what we just talked about. He still gets to keep his money, which he is making a lot of. He's one of, like, the top five college athletes ever, like, in the country right now, with NIL money is concerned, so... I mean, yeah, I mean, if he is, you know, if this is really the decision he really wants to make, it's the smartest way he can make that decision.
Absolutely.
So I don't really know if there's anything else to talk about. You did mention, though, like, whatever team he does get drafted to, you know, will LeBron
force his way there?
Force his way there.
Could happen. GM. He's, you know, he's known to, you know, make moves and try things out, but I don't see him getting drafted. So
yeah,
even with him being LeBron's son, he's not talent wise he's not there.
And if an NBA team were to, if he goes undrafted, maybe slide something under the table, be like, hey, you want to hop on the team? I wonder what he says to that.
Very possible. And that's another tough decision for him to have to make.
I don't know, I just feel like I don't know if he's throwing away his career or not. I'm not going to flat out say that, but I just don't like the decision.
I don't either.
Because I do think he has the potential to be, you know, I think he could be great in college. I mean, I think he could definitely be a solid, maybe even like a backup point guard in the NBA. Who knows? I mean, we haven't seen really what his potential is.
We really haven't. That's
so it's hard to say.
It is.
You know? But anyways, moving on from that, Julius Randle has just, you know, he's going to undergo surgery and he's out for the season, just straight up like that.
I know they tried to get him back, you know, tried to get him healthy, you know, have him play for the rest of the season, but it clearly wasn't working. He was clearly in pain still, and this is just devastating for the Knicks, who have had a interesting season. I mean, they're sitting like fifth in the East right now. It just puts more pressure on Jalen Brunson.
It does.
And which it's nothing he can't handle. He's been unbelievable season.
60-point game as of recently.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that was insane. That was the game against the Spurs where Wimby dropped 40. That was the
And then Wimby still – they ended up winning still,
crazy. Crazy
but,
game.
Yeah, I wanted to point out this stat about the Knicks and how they're 11-1 with Brunson and Randle and Ananobi starting, which Ananobi has been out. He's been – I remember he was out for a long period of time, played for like two or three games. Now he's out again for
That's the problem, and because the Knicks did really good at the deadline. I mean, getting Ananobi was a huge
move
for them.
Yeah.
But if you can't stay healthy, that's what do you make of that? And it's unfortunate with Julius Randle. I'm not saying that they beat the Celtics in a 7-game series or the Bucks, although the Bucks have been struggling.
I have been seeing Doc Rivers interviews, which, you know.
But this hurts, you know. This hurts them because Julius Randle is a guy that they could have relied on, even though he does, at least in my opinion, kind of disappear during the playoffs, or he has in the past. It still takes a lot of the pressure off of Jalen Brunson, and, you know, has a guy that can stretch the floor and create opportunities for other players.
Mm-hmm.
So it's extremely tough for the Knicks.
Yeah, I like how you mentioned OG Anunoby, because he was great for them, but obviously with injuries, I mean, what more can you do? It's like the LA Clippers of old, you know, when Kawhi and Paul George were just in and out of the lineups. I mean, even this year with Westbrook out certain times, mm-hmm. it's just hard to, like, find wins if you don't even have your team.
It is.
You know? So, yeah, this is definitely a big deal for the Knicks. I do think it's better than just a Steven Adams situation with the Grizzlies and not undergoing surgery and stuff.
Absolutely.
But
I agree with that.
Moving on from the Knicks, this isn't on the list, but, like, I want to talk to you about the Joel Embiid situation, because a lot of people are mentioning that. A lot of people are talking about, is this too early? Or is this a right move for them because, you know, obviously they want to contend for the playoffs?
The 76ers are in a weird place, and they kind of have been all season. You know, they finally got rid of James Harden. You know, he went to the Clippers, and I think he has fit in great with the Clippers.
Yeah.
But the Sixers kind of, you know, put that weird. Tyrese Maxey has really stepped up this season, and I think they were like fourth or fifth in the East, and then Joel Embiid goes down, and now they're eighth. So, and probably going to be in the play-in. So it's tough. I think if Joel Embiid was not ready, I don't think they would have brought him back. I think this was strictly his decision to make, because obviously I do think they want to push for, you know, a championship. Although
there's so many, especially in the West too. There's
The West is a lot. The West is very, very, very competitive. I think in the East it is a large. It's like the Celtics at the very top, and then I think there's a pretty big drop. Especially the way the Bucks have been playing. But
yeah,
it's gonna be tough. I mean, maybe the Sixers can, you know, make noise in the play-in. I don't know who
they are in the Eastern Conference, so they
and
do have a chance.
Anything
but
can
those
happen.
Those Knicks look scary. They obviously do. You mentioned the Celtics,
the Cavaliers, when they want to play.
Yeah, and when they're healthy too.
When they're healthy
because they've struggled with injuries.
Donovan
too.
Donovan Mitchell,
Evan
been,
Mobley,
yeah.
Darius Garland,
sure. Has.
Even Donovan Mitchell, like you mentioned, mm-hmm. yeah.
So it's tough. I think Joel Embiid coming back is huge for them, but at the same time, it may be one of those situations where they're bounced in the first round. Because even if they make it out of the play-in and they get the 8 seed,
yeah,
you play Boston in the first round. And that is just something that's brutal.
I know people talk about Boston being the Dallas Cowboys a bit. Like, you know how they sell. Me and Trey have talked about it, and sorry, Boston fans. But, I mean, they're not getting first-rounded. There's no way. They're not that type of team. You know what I'm saying? They're not like the Cowboys in that way. Like, they're not going to sell like that. Now, granted, they might go to the Eastern Conference finals and
things could happen there. I think this is I've said this at the beginning of the season. I said Celtics are a great regular season team, and then come playoff time, they tend to choke.
They still go deep in the playoffs, though.
But yes, they do. I mean, they made the finals 2022, lost to Golden State. And then last year, where were they last year?
Last year, conference finals, wasn't it? Because the Heat beat them in the conference finals.
Yes,
remember?
That was it. And they, which the Heat, that was a magical run by the Heat.
It went to seven. I remember that because Derek White had that magic tip in Game 6.
I do remember that. And everyone thought Boston was taking Game 7, and the Heat came in there and stole it. But
yeah,
this Celtics team's different. This Celtics team's different than the one I've seen the past three, 4 years.
They're beating people by 30, 20.
They're just such a complete team. I mean, the best starting five easily, in my opinion. So it's going to be really tough for any Eastern Conference team to contend with them in seven.
Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see if they do win the chip, hypothetically. I mean, where does this roster rank all time? Because, I mean, just to see how dominant they are in the regular season, if they bring that in the playoffs and it's just clear-cut like that, I mean,
definitely one of the all-time rosters. I mean, this team has everything you need for a championship team. They have guys off the bench. They have a great starting lineup. They have a great coach. They have a great fan base. I mean, they are solid at home. They are so solid at home, and they just clinched home court throughout the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So that's huge for them.
I mean, 60 wins is just like, even in the West, they're just clear over all these teams. They're just clear cut.
They are. Mm. They are. And it's scary. It's a scary
thing.
It
is scary to see. But going back to the Sixers, I mean, I thought it was kind of like, I don't know, I've heard some people say they want them to just sit out. They have no chance in the playoffs. But then I don't agree with that either, because, like, what's even the point in the first place of just, you know, if you're going to play basketball, you're going to play to contend, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to lay it all on the floor. Like, why just give up that season? You know what I'm saying? I thought they kind of brought them on a little early. I mean, maybe let them have a few more games off and then just bring them, like, right at the end.
That's how fans are like that. Fans are so split down, the middle of what they want to do. I remember last year, all Miami Heat fans that I knew were, like, they were, like, the eighth seed, and they played in the play-in, and they were like, can we just please lose this game on purpose? I'm not trying to go to the playoffs. This team's not ready to compete for anything. And then they end up making the finals. So it's – I'm with you on this. I think, you know, if you have the guy and he's healthy, put him in there. Why not compete? You know, what's, you know,
what do they have to? I mean, they have stuff to lose.
They do, but at the same time,
why do you put the shoes on in the first place? Why do you shoot the basketball in the first place? You know what I'm saying?
I completely agree.
Well, with that, we're going to be right back up to the short break. Don't go away, y'all.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back, everyone, to WVUA 90.7, the Capstone NBA student section. We're back, and let's talk about the game last night with the Knicks. Speaking of them, I mean, they came back from a 21-point deficit against the Sacramento Kings, which... Sacramento Kings have not been looking good this season. I've heard some people talk about how they've had the same record as last season when they were ranked like a 3 seed, but it's just the West is so...
It goes to show you how good the West is. I mean,
the West is so dang stacked, but Brunson led the way for the Knicks with 35 points, but the star of the show, Josh Hart, with 31 points, a season high. I looked back at all his stats, man. I mean, the closest he got was like 20-something. This dude, I don't think it's a career high, but I believe it is a season high for him.
I just love Josh Hart's energy, you know, the passion he plays with. Every team he's been at, he's just given them an energy boost. And he's one of those locker room guys that I feel like you need to have. But really impressive win by the Knicks. I think that they're just trying to prove to a lot of their fans. You know, when I saw the news about Julius Randle, you know, I looked and a lot of Knicks fans are saying they can win without him. You know, it hurts them, hurts their team, obviously, but this team has the ability to win without Randle, and I think they proved that last night against the good Sacramento Kings team, like you said.
They still have some talented players. I know Malik Monk's out for a meniscus.
Something in his knee. Which is a tough blow for Sacramento, but it was one that they needed, too, because that pushed Sacramento back to eight.
Mm-hmm. A game behind the Pelicans, yeah.
And that, I mean, from fifth place to ninth is like a 1.5-2 game difference. I mean, that is just insane. With like 6 games left in the regular season, you really don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I know my Mavericks have been taking advantage of that. Your Suns are still in the playoff contention.
The Suns have had the hardest, like, our last 10 games were the hardest schedule of anybody's in the NBA. You know, we've played teams where all the teams we played are going to be in the playoffs. So, which I hate that because obviously I want to win games late, but I also kind of like that because I feel like it gives them a lot of preparation for, you know, the big games that are coming once playoff time hits. And it's pretty much that time for every team where unless you are comfortably have made it like the Celtics and the Nuggets and the Thunder and the Timberwolves, you're playing like it's the playoffs right now.
Mm-hmm. I know KD is having a remarkable season, especially 28 points a game, a point over his, you know, before he tore his Achilles, where he was averaging like 27 for the Warriors. So, I mean, it's just, it's remarkable what he's doing.
Yeah, I mean,
coming off an injury like that.
It's really not been done. I mean, it's so difficult to, you know, we saw Klay Thompson coming back from a lot, all those injuries. And Klay Thompson has been playing pretty good recently, but he's not the same Klay that he was before the injury. But KD is, he's really impressed.
He is really balling. And, of course, Devin Booker, I mean, you got to love him. Bradley Beal has had his games,
too. He's accepted, I think the most important part about Bradley Beal is he's accepted his role as, I'm not going to be the guy that scores all the points, as he was in Washington. I'm not going to be the guy that, you know, does all that. I'm not going to be the guy that, you know, shoots the ball most times down the floor. He has accepted the role of, you know, point guard. And I think that's super important if the Suns want to make a, you know, deep playoff run.
I agree. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people forget about Bradley Beal when he averaged like 32 a game for the Wizards. Yeah. A lot of people forget that. I mean, he was leading the league in points per game for a period of time, I think only a couple of years ago, maybe like 2019, something like that.
He was.
Anyways, I mean, yeah, a good win by the Knicks, but this Kings roster, I mean, they're only behind a game against the Pelicans and Suns and two games behind the Mavericks. So, I mean, it's like you said, though, it's this Western Conference is...
It's heating up to be incredible. I think, and right now as we speak, the Kings are, and I'm obviously, you know, Suns fan, so I'm rooting, you know, for the Kings to lose out. So the Suns are, you know, don't have to be in that play-in, but right now the Kings are down 13 to the Celtics, so.
Oh, wow.
Which is the Celtics.
Just,
that's just Boston.
A bad matchup, yeah. But anyways, I mean, yeah, I don't think we have much else to say about that, except shout out to Josh Hart. I mean, he has been great for him. Like we just said with OG and Anobi and Randall out, they've been needing all the help
all
they
the
can
help
get.
They can get. Absolutely.
And especially the rebounding. Like, you know, I remember for a point in time, Isaiah Hartenstein was doing a lot for him, and he still is. But, I mean, Josh Hart, he's been everywhere. He's getting triple doubles. He's just He's doing all the dirty work, and you need a guy like that, honestly.
Absolutely, you do.
So, moving on, we're talking about the Lakers. 8-1, we gave a little preview of that, and now let's talk about it. I mean, 8-1 in their last nine games, and, I mean, looking to make it 9-1 this weekend, Saturday versus the Cavaliers. So, I mean, let's just talk about this Lakers roster right now. I mean, they're looking hot as of late, especially because, I mean, like we said in the Western Conference, all these teams are so close together, like within like one or two games. I mean, they could really make it into the playoffs.
Oh, absolutely they can. I mean, LeBron has been turning back time a little bit, playing like his old self.
Yeah.
And really just impressed with how, you know, they've kind of – they were, you know, they're still ninth, obviously, which if things ended today, they would have to play two games and win two games to earn a playoff spot.
Go against the Warriors,
and
yeah.
That would be an interesting game because
single game,
how can you count out Steph, but how can you count out LeBron? That's a extremely tough, and I think the Lakers and Warriors have played in the play-in before. I think they played, it was either last year or 2 years ago they played in the play-in. Yeah. So these teams know each other and they're very familiar with each other. But the Lakers, it's just so hard to...
They have a very talented roster.
They do, and it's hard to count out a team with LeBron James on it and Anthony Davis.
A healthy and Anthony Davis at
I that. Believe that the key for them is the others. The Austin Reeves, you know, it's tough because if they can show up and they can consistently score and do all the stuff that you do as role players, I think this Lakers team's a very dangerous team.
I know when D'Angelo Russell is heating up. I know me and Trey have talked about it countless times. Trade line D'Lo, I mean, it's a real thing.
Trey was here to talk about his Lakers. I'm sure he'd have a lot
there,
to say.
That's why I put it on the list, honestly. I mean, it's a relevant topic to talk about for those of you listening.
Definitely.
Talking about us, just, you know, all we do is talk about the Lakers, which may or may not be true, but it's relevant to talk about. They're 8-1 in their last nine, and I mean, coming into the playoffs where they're a game or two behind these guys, that I mean, they could make a
they're
run
heating
to
up
get
at the right
playoff
time.
Seed.
Yeah. They're heating up at the right time, and that's huge.
I agree.
Huge for LA.
Mm-hmm. It definitely is. But, yeah, like you were saying, the Austin Reeves, the D'Angelo Russells, Torian Prince, whoever it may be, I know Trey loves his Jared Vanderbilt. He loves Jared Vanderbilt.
Jared Vanderbilt is a huge piece for them, especially on the defensive end. You know, he's such a long athletic wing that can guard, you know, guys on the other team, you know, like really any position, you know, you mm-hmm. He's going to guard the other team's best player.
He's like a Herb Jones, you know, just one of those types of guys that you need. And
very true.
Yeah, they want him to come back. They need him to come back if they really want to make a run. And, I mean, even without him, though, they really do have a talented roster. With that addition of Spencer Dinwiddie, we've been talking about how people are saying he's shooting career lows. But
he struggled at first, but it's hard to move to a team and immediately just –
Yeah, it's Spencer Dinwiddie, though. We know what he can do, so that's why I've never been worried about it. But, yeah, I mean, this Lakers team can really make a run. I mean, we talk about it week in and week out. They really have a chance to even get a playoff seed and skip all that play-in junk and not have to worry about it.
It's so, like, and this is what I love. I love that this is happening where it's so tight between the Western Conference that you really don't know how it's all going to unfold.
Mm-hmm. And it's crazy because there's only, what, like,
six games left. I mean, I know their last day of the regular season's the 14th of April, so.
Mm-hmm. And that's their last game. Or the Kings' last game versus Trailblazers.
I believe everybody, that April 14th, I think literally every team in the NBA plays that day.
For real?
If I'm not wrong, yeah.
Dang.
I'm pretty sure. And that's like the – probably a lot's going to be determined that day too, so.
Probably, yeah. But, yeah, the Lakers, they have a real shot. Anyways, let's move on to four teams that have already clinched a playoff seed. We've talked about a few. The Celtics and T-Wolves, Nuggets, and Thunder. Funny thing enough – A lot of them are already in the West, and obviously the Celtics have just been reigning supreme over all. So, but yeah, I mean, before we get into the guaranteed playing guys, let's talk about these guys. I mean, we've talked about the Celtics enough. I really want to talk about the T-Wolves because they've really been an interesting team. What are your thoughts on their roster, and do you think they can really make it over the hump in the playoffs?
I do. But maybe a hot take, I also think they are upsettable. I think they are a team that could, I don't want to say easily lose in the first round, but they could definitely lose in the first round if, you know, things don't go.
That's a little spicy.
Talking to me,
I know I've talked about it before in previous episodes. That doesn't seem that hot to me because, like, I'm not amazed by this roster. I'll be honest. Not amazed.
I don't know the Karl Anthony Towns situation either. I think that
it's
also is a pretty
healthy
big
for a
factor.
While,
and I don't know if he's planning on coming back. I haven't really heard much about him. But with him out, that hurts them a lot. You know, he's probably the best shooting big man in the league. And
or maybe it helps him because, I mean – we have seen in playoffs that Karl Anthony Towns hasn't really shown up.
Very true.
Kind of like a Julius Randle type player,
yes,
like as far as playoffs are concerned.
I agree with that. I think it's all
comparing them, obviously, Towns.
With the Timberwolves, it's how far can Anthony Edwards take them? You know, this
which
team
I love
is,
Ant.
Oh my gosh, he has performed incredibly well this season. Led his team similar to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander
mm-hmm.
for the Thunder.
Yeah.
You know, these two young guys, and I love to see that. You know, the league's in great hands in the future.
I'm glad to see it too. Yeah.
Two young guys that are leading, you know, their team, and it's just. I don't know. The Timberwolves, they have the pieces and they have the team, but it's tough because if they match, it's all depending on who they match up with.
Yeah,
you know,
just there's so many other talented rosters, and they are the one seed right now, I believe.
They are.
Yeah, they are the one seed, like tied, or just the Nuggets have one more loss than them. So
yes.
Yeah.
So again, you never even know. They could end up third.
Yeah.
So it all. It's just their matchup. That's the biggest thing is who they play. And if they face a team, you know, that has a lot of good guard play, I think they could be in a little bit of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah. But, I mean, I like certain players on their team. Like we just talked about Ant. I love Naz Reid.
Who doesn't?
Naz Reid is that guy.
He really is.
He is that guy. I mean, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, he's been pretty solid for him.
He has.
Rudy Gobert, as many people would hate him, I know he airballs layups. I know he does all those things.
He defends. He defends. You're not getting an easy shot in the paint if Rudy Gobert is in the game.
I know they're like top 10 in defensive percent, like defense or something in the league, or top 5, something. They're high in the league in defense. And a part of that reason to me, I think like 60-70% of that reason is Rudy Gobert. Mm-hmm. I mean, granted, they have some good defensive guys, and like Anthony Edwards has stepped up on defense, showing how a star can even be good on both ends. But I don't know. Rudy Gobert has just been – he has been the anchor for their defense, and he's been a key role. Mike Conley, too, he has been – not defensively,
that veteran presence, though. I think that's extremely important.
And he's consistent. I mean, literally every season he's the exact same person.
He is.
Which is good and bad. Not even really bad. It's just – you know what you're going to get.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I think that – you know, it's these top teams, you know, obviously the Nuggets are – the defending champs, and you know, I love the Thunder and the Timberwolves roster, but you know, I think the difference right now between the East and the West is that in the East, at least for me, there is a clear-cut favorite. And the West, I mean, you could say one of those top three teams.
For me, if I had to pick, it would be the Nuggets.
It would be the Nuggets for me too, simply
because. But I think a lot of people would pick that, which I'm kind of sad that I want to pick someone else, but it's hard to do that.
It's tough. It's super tough to, you know, pick out of this Western Conference.
Because, you know, guys, our two teams obviously are in the West. I mean, if y'all don't know, I'm a Mavs fan, he's a Suns fan, if y'all haven't picked that up yet. But, I mean, we're trying to be unbiased here. I mean,
absolutely.
It's just like this OKC team, if we're getting on this topic, I just think they're struggling with injuries as of late. I know Shea's kind of – he's not going to be out for long. I know J-Dub, I'm not familiar with how long he's going to be out. But, not I mean, either. Two key players and not really the greatest time to be out, especially with – we see how tight this race is for seeding.
I could speak all day about the job SGA has done this season.
Consistent.
You know, carrying his – you know, young Thunder team to a top three seed in the West is incredible.
Yeah.
But I'm like, you just mentioned, Jalen Williams. He has played unbelievable this season. And really, I did not expect it at all. Did not expect him to.
Had a great rookie year. I think he was number three.
Yeah.
Rookie.
Did not expect him to take this jump. And, you know, I think he's averaging almost 20 points a game. Just being that guy that SGA can, you know, depend on. And Chet Holmgren, obviously, we know what he can do.
On
both ends of the court.
Yeah.
You know, Josh Giddey, Lou Dort.
Josh Giddey has been balling.
Some up and down games, but
as of late, he's been having.
I think he is a perfect fit for the Thunder because I think he plays his role perfectly.
Yeah.
And then Lou Dort is, you know,
he's Lou Dort.
They say the Dortcher Chamber for a reason because he can guard just about anybody.
He's great for the roster too. I mean, he fits in perfectly.
That's why I think this Thunder team plays so well together. They're young and they just play together. They have probably the best chemistry. Yeah, they probably have the best chemistry in the league. I don't know. It's tough, but they definitely.
That Nuggets team though.
That's my only. Probably the Nuggets. Yeah.
Nuggets are just like, but that's the problem with the Nuggets. If they lose a guy like Jamal Murray, which they're at a loss
and
now.
He's still hurt. Yeah.
Or even a guy like KCP or just like, you know, MPJ, anybody.
If there's games, and I remember last season watching the playoffs, wherever there's a game that Nikola Jokic has to take more shots than he's, you know, usually accustomed to, it's not good at all. Because I remember Jokic had like 53 points in a game against the Suns last year, and the Suns won. So
just recently, he had like 40 something last night, didn't they?
And then they lost to the Clippers.
And the Clippers, it was 102-100.
The Clippers is another team that is in the West. That's just, if they are all healthy, I mean, that is, again, that's probably. That's one of my favorite lineups.
I know they've kind of had a little down or cool off of recently. I mean, just had a great win against the Nuggets, though.
And how do you feel? Because right now things ended. Your Mavericks would be playing the Clippers in the first round. How do you feel about that?
I don't know. I mean, I love our roster, though. I think we recently just talked about trade deadlines and, like, teams, like, what they've been doing. I think we made some great decisions. Daniel Gafford, I mean, I know he wasn't getting that much of a role in Washington. But he's been amazing.
He fits in so much better in Dallas than he did in Washington.
And then PJ, I mean, yeah, he's just been that guy for us. I mean, Derek Lively, I remember as of the beginning of the season, he was starting. He had to play, like, so many minutes. Mm-hmm. And for a rookie, I mean, we were asking a lot of him, basically. Yeah. I mean, my only scare to me, I've been watching a lot of games, and Tim Hardaway Jr. has been struggling for us. Mm-hmm. He hasn't been getting over the hump. He's been getting like 7 points, maybe. Mm. He'll have 7, 5, maybe 10, and it'll just be really inconsistent. So it's just our starting lineup looks good. Like Derek Jones Jr., he's been performing. Obviously, Luka and Kyrie.
Best backcourt in the NBA.
I know. But,
yeah,
I know that's, it to be true. Yeah, but yeah. It's just our bench. It's just that's just been kind of lacking as of late, and I'm kind of scared for that because – I mean, the Clippers, they have Westbrook off the bench. They got Norman Powell off the
Not to mention Kawhi, PG, and Harden, and Zubac.
Filthy starting lineup. I mean, yeah, I don't like that matchup. I mean, but what are you going to do, man? I mean, eventually you're going to have to play a team like that. I mean, we talk about it all the time, like, you can have this matchup, you can have this matchup.
If you want to be the best, you got to beat the best.
Eventually, you got to be like the Heat and be like, we might have been in a playoffs play-in spot, we might have been counted out, but we're going to have to beat a Bucks team. We're going to have to beat a Celtics team.
Absolutely.
We're going to have to get our hands dirty here. And, I mean, the Mavericks are going to have to figure out if they can win a title or not, you know, if they can be that roster. Because, I mean, we have a great roster right now. Yeah. It's just if our bench is able to step up and our starting lineup is able to keep rolling like we're doing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's where I'm sitting at, though, with that situation. But, yeah. I mean, want to take a short break and then we'll come back?
I think so.
All right. We'll be back after this short break, y'all. Don't go away.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back, everyone, to the NBA student section. We're back, and we're here to talk about some... We didn't really get into the play-in teams that are guaranteed a play-in spot. And by that, I mean they're not going to be... Because they're in the Eastern Conference, it's the Hawks and Bulls. Obviously, we know the Pistons, the Wizards, the... The Spurs, they're not catching up. Their season's done. They're done. But, like, I mean, yeah, they're done. So that way, yeah, they're not able to get into the playoffs, and basically they're not able to get out of the play-in.
Yeah.
So basically they're just playing teams, period.
I believe every team in the East and West has already been decided, the top 10 teams. Mm-hmm. I think they've all been decided. I think maybe the Rockets, but even the Rockets have to make
The Rockets aren't decided yet.
They aren't decided, but they'd have to make literally win out and have the Warriors – lose out.
I mean, they did. They went on a 10-game win streak, but then
their loss to the Warriors last night was Easton shirt that he was wearing. Warriors better come out.
Yes, Tari Easton.
That was hysterical.
Oh my gosh! And then Curry did that thing with the water bottles. Oh my gosh, that was hilarious. I love it though, because Tari Easton was sitting by Dylan Brooks and stuff. I'm like, that's what you get.
That's what you get, bro. I don't agree with Draymond Green often, but the point he made on his podcast where he said, you going to tell us to come out to play when you're not playing yourself?
I couldn't agree more with that. I love that you pointed that out because I saw that too. And then as soon as I listened, I was like, it's so true. Yeah. I mean, Draymond, obviously, this season, he's kind of been – not even kind of been. He has been all over the place. No one can even predict what he's going to do next. But, I mean, yeah – I agree with them. I mean, how can you say that when you're sitting on the sidelines wearing a t-shirt?
Wearing it, and the fact that he wore the t-shirt to the game is crazy. He was really wanting to win.
But I still love that he did that because it just made the game. It made it that much more interesting.
Absolutely.
Especially because the Warriors have been struggling as of late, and the Rockets are a 10th seed, so like, you know, normally people wouldn't really care about this game, but because they did stuff like that, it just made it that much more interesting. But anyways, let's talk about the Hawks and the Bulls. Mm-hmm. I mean, guaranteed play-in teams. I know, looking at the standings, they're the 9th and 10th seed, so guaranteed to match up against each other. So, I mean, Hawks-Bulls matchup.
I think that I may be wrong, but I feel like the Chicago Bulls have been in the play-in every year that there has been a play-in tournament. I feel like they're always in that.
They might have been,
in that spot. Like, I feel like they're always, you know, in the play-in, but
I'm just mad they didn't do anything in the trade deadline.
I think
literally nothing.
No, they didn't, and it frustrated me, and I'm sure it frustrated all the fans of Chicago. But one thing I think they're definitely going to do is this upcoming offseason, I think they're going to make a lot of changes. I think we're going to see a completely different Bulls team in the 2024-2025 season. But looking at this matchup, it's an interesting one because I feel like it's been a really frustrating season for the Hawks as well. You know,
true. Up and downs. They did have back-to-back wins against the Celtics, which we talked about.
That was incredible, yes.
It was both home court advantage, but still.
That was incredible.
It's insane.
That was especially the 30-point comeback was just
wild,
unreal. But what frustrates me is this is the same Hawks team, you know, outside of John Collins not being there, that made the Eastern Conference Finals in 2021.
And then we haven't seen anything
since. And we just have not seen anything since. And I saw something somewhere, and it was like their record the last like 1,000 games, or like some, like their record is literally like 500 and 500, like they're the definition of just average, mid. Yes. And it's just like,
I love that.
It's just like, it's so sad because I feel like that team has a lot of talent, you know, Trae Young, DeJounte Murray, Bogdanovich, Capella.
The DeJounte Murray addition has been interesting, to say the least. It's been interesting.
It definitely has.
I mean, obviously you had that 44 shot attempt game and they won the game. I mean,
that was crazy.
It's just, I don't know, it's just DeJounte Murray as a player is just very egotistical, it seems like. That's just how he comes across. I know I've
very
seen
much so.
I remember, I don't know if we talked about his summer highlights when he played Paolo Banchero before he got into
that.
The NBA.
I
threw the
that.
Ball at him and stuff. I don't know if y'all seen those clips.
He's very arrogant.
Yeah, he's a very emotional player.
Absolutely.
I mean, yeah, he's just a roller coaster. He's all over the place. Obviously, like, I wouldn't say Draymond level this season. I'm sure glad he isn't. But, I mean, he has his spurts where, like, he's just, you know, you can see flashes of it, basically, what I'm trying to say.
And I think looking for both teams, I think they both have to kind of realize, obviously, anything can happen. But whichever team wins is playing the winner of the 7-8, which could be the Sixers, could be the Heat, and you're ultimately playing to get swept by the Celtics. At least that's what I think. I mean,
that's so sad.
I'm just being honest. You're
that's
playing
so
to get swept by the Celtics, but
dang.
I think we're looking at two teams with the Hawks and the Bulls that are going to make significant changes in the offseason.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it's definitely time for the Bulls to move on from, you know, DeRozan, to move on from, you know, Zach LaVine.
Vucevic.
I think it's time. And
Lonzo, I don't.
That's so talented, too.
Lonzo.
So talented. Yes, Lonzo
he's
Ball
just
as well.
Been...
They have a talented roster. Alex Caruso.
I think the Hawks have a very talented roster. I agree with what you're saying. Jalen Johnson has been amazing.
Yes.
I mean, that guy, he can hoop. Trae Young, obviously. DeJounte, even though we talked about that, he still has some great games. Mm-hmm. Bogdan's a great addition. Clint Capella, solid big.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's just between this matchup, I would probably have to go the Bulls, which
I agree.
I just, with DeRozan when he's healthy, especially in a single game elimination, it just feels like the Bulls are a more mature team, if you get what I'm trying to say here.
I agree with that.
You get what I'm trying to say? Yeah. I just feel like I just don't see them losing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, both of these teams are probably the definition of mid.
They are.
No offense. I'm sorry, guys. It's just true.
There are Bulls, there are Hawks fans out there. I don't know how you couldn't agree with us, to be honest.
I mean, they're just... But we get what... I know where you come from. I know last season the Mavericks were, you know what I'm saying, not so very special. So, and I know your Suns have had their ups and downs. So, I mean, yes, we get where y'all are coming from. Like, we get it. We get it. But sometimes you just got to look in the mirror and just say, we're mid right now.
And, you know, it's one of those weird situations. If you're an NBA team and you're that average, you got to pick a side. You got to either try to get players and try to build something to
go
contend,
OKC mode and just...
Or go complete rebuild. And
OKC
get rid
mode,
of,
get draft picks.
Exactly. I think that's what the Bulls are going to do this offseason is go OKC mode.
Because they don't have much value, like an old DeRozan.
Definitely not.
Vucevic has just been up and down this season. I mean, we saw it where he was an all-star in Orlando, and then now he's just kind of been on the decline. Caruso, I mean, he's great, but he's... You know, there's only so much. Zach LaVine's been injury prone.
He has been very injury prone.
Lonzo looked good, but obviously we know he's been injured. So it's just,
Tough situation.
Yeah, it's a really tough situation. And then with Atlanta, it's just like, I mean, you could just trade Trae Young. But then, I mean, he's meant a lot to the city of Atlanta and stuff, so it would be kind of a tough situation. But
I know that I wish Trey was here, but I've seen a lot of...
not Trae Young, but
Trae
Simpson.
I didn't even realize that. I've seen a lot of things about Trae Young, possibly the Lakers looking at him in the offseason.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
But
yeah.
I don't know.
I'll
leave that to for... Trey Simpson to talk about more on the next.
I know they even talked about DeJounte Murray, ironically, too, even going to the Lakers. I remember that trade deadline.
Yes, but I think I can't speak for Trey and his thoughts on the Lakers, but definitely a true point guard would help them tremendously.
Yeah, D-Lo's been really good for him, though.
He has, but all of this stuff, all the players that we've talked about, how will they perform in the playoffs? Because we talked about, like, remember, Karl Anthony Towns and Julius Randle and people like that, that once it comes playoff time, they disappear. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how it all unfolds.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much all we got for the show. I mean, there's not really much else that happened. Rajon Rondo retired.
That's sad to see. I loved Rondo.
It was kind of like... Because obviously he had a break from the season. Like, you know, he was, I forget the last season he played. Was it 2020 or 2021?
I believe it was 2020. I have not seen Rondo since he was on that championship Lakers team when they won in the bubble.
Yeah, and it was just after that, it was just like he was out of the NBA, and then he's like, oh, I'm just going to finally announce my retirement.
Yeah.
It was just sad to see how he went, but, like, I mean, the career he's had has just been outstanding.
Tremendous, yeah. He is one of the best, you know, passers that I've ever seen play. You know,
and finishers.
He was doing. He was never the best shooter, but, yeah, the way he got to the rim and, yeah, no, Rondo is...
He made plays for his team. I mean, he was that guy,
that
especially
Celtics
in Boston.
Team, that Celtics yeah. team with Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett and Rondo, that was a special...
Ray Allen.
That was a special team.
Yeah, yeah. It was a great team to watch. I mean, their series, talking about the Lakers again, I mean, just the Kobe series with Kobe and Powell versus
that super team.
That was crazy. It's definitely some crazy games to watch, but that's going to pretty much do it for the episode. You got anything else to say, Drew?
I hope my Suns finish strong and that they face a easy playoff matchup. I'm not going to lie, I want the Timberwolves in the first round. If we can get them, I want the Timberwolves.
Oh, wow. But, I mean, yeah, same with the Mavs. I mean, boys, if you are listening to this, it's never going to come easy. So you got to – sometimes – when life gives you a roadblock like the Denver Nuggets or whoever, you just got to face it head on. Mm-hmm. So with that, that's the episode. Thank you all for tuning in, and we're out. Peace.